Calling all nerds, this is More Than Dice, the podcast where we dive deep into the realms of everything nerdy. Whether you're a nerd culture connoisseur, a tabletop titan, a miniature gaming marveler, or just someone who proudly embraces their inner geek, this is the podcast for you. And now here's your hosts, Gonzo, John, and Nerd. Oh, and sometimes Mizzy.
Welcome to another episode of More Than Dice. I'm Gonzo.
I'm Nerd.
I'm John.
And we're going to be talking about some pretty cool subjects today. This is episode 295, almost there to our 300th episode. We'll have to wait and see how the 300th episode is going. But we've got a lot of stuff planned for the podcast, not only podcast, but stuff off the podcast. And our third podcast member has finally arrived.
Hello, John.
Hello, hi. You didn't even give me full time to get alcohol. I see how it'll be.
Hey, I started at 7 o'clock like usual. 8 o'clock your time.
And he did his John impression.
I did a really good John impression. They didn't even know that you weren't even here. They were like, damn, that was Gonzo that did that. And yeah, they were pretty impressed. Everybody said it was amazing. They didn't type it out. They just sent it to mm-hmm. telepathy.
Yeah, okay. We'll see.
So, welcome to episode 295. Today we're going to be talking about what to do if your army or models or whatever gets canceled or, you know, gone, out of the way, so on and so forth. But before we do all that, we have to get to everything correctly.
4 out of 10, huh? 4 out of 10. Okay.
Guys, we want to thank all of our sponsors, especially Cuttlefish Colors. If you haven't noticed it, we have been using that and been using it well. We like their stuff. They have a really good glaze and really good coverage, especially mm-hmm. if you're a good glazing person and like to do that. You'll definitely like them. We want to thank Turbo Dork, of course, because they make some of the best metallic and turbo shifting paints out there. We want to thank Midnight Heroes for all the cool chibi stuff and the chibi game they got coming. We want to thank Creature Caster also, because they not only have a tribe that they're doing a D&D module with miniatures, they've got a new project coming up that we're going to be talking about, and they have amazing miniatures, period, that, you know, they just make. Also, they are all the people that make Judgment. If you haven't tried Judgment out, go and try it out. It's a lot of fun. Very few models, and it's played on a gridded system. I enjoy it a lot, and we will actually see a battle discussion is what we're going to be calling them pretty soon on it when Captain Mizzy and I do one. Oh, so cool. I also want to thank Muzon Minis for hosting the channel and putting it out there for everybody. And if you don't know, we have a lot of podcasts that are underneath us, and we've got a couple of other ones coming up too that are going to be producing and, or, you know, we'll be distributing their podcast. We hope that you like those also. If there's something you want to see from like another group, like Dave Taylor is doing amazing work. I mean, it's Dave Taylor. I mean, come on. Dave Taylor and Jake are awesome. They're always doing really good stuff. And they do a lot of stuff that's, you know, kind of what we do, but they go in more detail and they get like really cool people and so on and so forth. But check them out. And then we got a couple of other people and some, you know, War Machine related stuff. I am talking with another individual and they were wanting to jump underneath this, but it's going to be like behind the scenes of movie stuff, which I'm like, hey, that would be really cool to have, but just waiting to hear back from them. Other than that, I think we need to get to the really, really important stuff, because we haven't done this in, you know, 754 years. What's everybody drinking tonight, John?
Well, rather than finishing up drinking all this Red Stag cherry whiskey straight, I instead went and mixed a gin mule.
Gin. Nerd?
I've got good old H2O and the last bit of a dirty chai, which is just chai latte with cayenne in it.
Okay. Never heard of that. I am going to be doing water. I did a lot of outside work today and I need to rehydrate up and get everything. So I'll be drinking some good H2O.
Nice.
Guys, we appreciate you listening. Trust us. And we like that you're seeing stuff that is on the Facebook page. We're seeing a lot of people posting and talking about it. And if there's something you want to see, let us know. We don't mind. We're not going to be doing battle reports. Like, we're not going to stream battle reports and record them and then talk about them. We're going to do battle discussions where we're going to play a game and then we'll take pictures of it and talk about it after we get done. Just so I can kind of get by, because I know that some battle reports, they could be like 2 hours long. And yeah, we're not going to do that. We also got some other things coming around. John is thinking about doing some cool new stuff for the team. Maybe getting back into his movies and minis thing. And Nerd says she's going to start up our TikTok page and start doing TikTok dances for everybody. So just have to
Yep.
wait and see.
Little goblin TikTok dance.
So we really appreciate it. It has been really, really interesting to see this page grow over the last few years, and especially after Adepticon. We actually received a lot of positive feedback and a lot of positive attention from our Facebook, from all the stuff we did at Adepticon. So it really warmed the heart. And actually, like I said, I went to a convention just last weekend, and we got recognized there also. And this was a very tiny, tiny, tiny convention because these guys were driving from Dallas, and they're going, "I bet that's Gonzo from More Than Dice." And when they got there, they were like, "Are you Gonzo from More Than Dice?" I'm like, "Yes." And they were like, "We listen to y'all all the time." And I'm like, "Really, where?" And they told us they listened to us on Spotify. But it's actually very interesting to see that and be recognized. So it's really awesome. Like always, please take care of yourself. Please look after each other. Make sure you look after your health. If you feel something's wrong, get it looked at. The quicker, the better. If you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. If you can do something. If you can't, find somebody that will, because we've got to look after each other. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hydration.
Welcome, Cookie. So before we get over to the paint cam, and I start painting this stuff, I wanted to set up why we had this conversation. Just recently, GW has invalidated models and armies. That's the best way to put it.
That's harsh, actually.
Oh, what?
They let everyone know that in a year plus, those models are not going to get any more updates and are not going to be part of the tournament scene.
Correct. Which was pretty interesting that they would cut out the Age of Sigmar ones, the Sigmarines or whatever everybody's calling them.
So it's from the Stormcast Eternals, it
There you go.
is pretty much all of one of their three chambers. The weird thing is that it's the one that was like their big push within the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's what I thought was
They're
so
not that
weird.
old. Yeah. And you know, I've talked to a lot of people about this so I can come at this not as crank, just as cranky old guy.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that miniature line was bloated AF. They have way too many fucking miniatures and they can't keep stocking all those miniatures. But man, like, yeah, I know,
They gotta
Cookie.
make room
That's
for
the
new
Stormcast I know.
races.
Well, yeah, and also they're not going to update them, and obviously they're too fucking lazy to keep making rules for them, which is actually really the part that becomes a problem. You can continue to make rules. If you are too lazy, cost conscious, whatever the fuck you want to call it, to keep making rules for models, you may want to think about how fast you're putting shit out then. And
Yeah.
we've had this discussion. We had this discussion on Saturday. GW is the big dog. They do what they want.
Oh yeah. 100%.
They're Now, granted, they had a giant crash in their stock prices, but I don't think any of that has to do with anything other than to worry about how much plastic is going to cost to make here, coming up with all the craziness in the world.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, anytime someone, any company announces they're going to get rid of model lines, you worry, like, what's going on? Why are they doing that? You can have the best excuse in the world. You know, even Atomic Mass Games, they're not making models completely, you know, they're not getting rid of them completely. They're making larger sets of models, like the Spider-Man set you were talking about in the preamble, nerd. That's a collection of one from the core set, a single box, and a two-pack box because they wanted that, so they want to go further for a lot of the cores. Hey, here's the core of this particular faction, subfaction.
Just a slight interruption on you, John. Just I'm going to say, I'm going to be using, I did pick up a new paint line while I was at Adepticon, and it's this Big Child Creatives, and I wanted to try their purple out, so that was the purple I'm going to be using to work on these miniatures before we get too started into it.
Your camera's a little high. It needs to go down a little
Oh, well, yeah. It'll be changing.
just letting you know. But yeah, so that, I mean, so other companies do that. Other companies will discontinue stuff or remake stuff as they need to for the line. They can't just keep, the reality is you can't just keep adding model after model. Granted, most of those companies continue to make rules for their models because they understand that people have bought them and they kind of have a obligation to keep making rules. Now, the smaller the company, the more likely you'll keep making the rules because if you're not GW, you can't afford people to get pissed off. GW don't care if people get pissed off. They're, you know, they're the big dog.
Yeah, they know
They're
they're
the
still going to
entry.
get their money.
Yeah. And the biggest discussion I had before we get into what you can do with this is my biggest problem was what does an outside person feel when we look at Games Workshop and go, oh, this whole army was discontinued. What if I'd bought that army
Yeah, just
as the
recently
entry
too.
level? Yeah, as the entry level of miniature gaming, because they are. You know, how would people feel about that? You know? How do
Yeah.
you buy anything from a company like that? You know, now granted, store employees can help them get through that, go, oh, hey, no, this doesn't happen too often. It's really rare. We can point you towards army that's not gonna happen for fucking example, it's never gonna happen for Space Marine stuff ever in the fucking Space Marines.
That's their bread and butter.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, when you've got a whole bunch of Stormcasts, you know, and granted you've got a year plus of them being tournament legal, and then after that you'll still be able to play with the rules for as long as they're around. But what do you do after that? You know, and in the case of the Bonesplitter Orcs and the Beasts of Chaos, it's not just part of them. Their whole faction's going away.
Yeah.
And those are even worse because they're not going away because of line bloat. They're going away because they want them for the old world. And that may be the shittiest part of it.
I don't understand what you mean by that.
So the old world is old Warhammer fantasy coming back. It's ranks and flanks rather than skirmish.
Okay.
So they're removing those armies from Age of Sigmar. And then putting them back in the old world game so they can people will play them there, but you can't use the same models because you'd have to basically chop them off their bases, put them on new bases. Or old bases in some cases, just square bases.
Yeah,
So
circle or
that's the part where
square.
it's really bad, really, you know, not what you want. You can understand the Stormcast, they have a giant line, whatever. It's not the best way to go forward, but that's the worst thing. Now, so if you're a player and your miniature canceled, you have a couple different options. Because I'll be honest, hey, guess what? I have a shit ton of Stormcasts that are affected by this. You can go with the nuclear option that people did when they first got rid of Warhammer Fantasy and announced Age of Sigmar, and you can go burn all your models. I don't actually suggest that. I mean, it might be cathartic, but I mean, there's better ways to go. Someone's gonna use those models. Most of those models are good for D&D or what have you. But you can continue to play with them. You can just go, well, you know what? Fuck, I'll just keep playing for as long as they're viable. If you've got a good local crew, it's great. The only problem comes is for pickup games in the store. And I
Yeah.
think Uncle Adam from Tabletop Minions, actually, I didn't watch his video, but his title made me think he was going this place where if you have one of those armies, it's going to be hard to get a pickup game in the store.
Yes.
And that's a
I did
problem.
watch that video 'cause he
Was that what he was talking about?
well, he was also that it, you know, it's going to be harder and harder for people to go to game stores because, you know, game stores are having a hard time staying open. That was also part of the thing.
That's fair. But so that's a problem. But if you've got a large local crew, then you have no worries. Like, I can go to my buddy's Pete's house whenever. I can go to fucking games and stuff. I know half the people there and play. I can go to my other buddy Marshall's house. So I don't have a problem, but I'm not the average gamer. So if you don't have that as an option, what do? Well, you can throw them on eBay, get rid of them, and buy a new army, buy a new game. I mean, there's a bunch of options. They're all, unfortunately, all kind of not great. Legion's right. Those armies are prime kitbash fodder now. Like, you can probably take most of the Stormcast, easy peasy, you can count as another thing. It won't be a big deal. Whatever the core troops are, you can count the core troops as. They just happen to have fucking more Roby bits on them than the regular, you know, Stormcast Eternals. It'll be fine. That counts as is great. It's a lot harder for the full armies. Yeah, that's the hard part, Cookie, is like Nerd says, is there those Stormcasts were in the Dominion box. That's not that old.
Less than that's, 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not bueno as far as they go, but you can count as them. They'll be fine as counts as. There's still a shit ton of other Stormcasts to use them as. And honestly, if you're a Stormcast player, that's what I suggest if you're considering still playing Age of Sigmar. One of the guys at the store wants to buy my Stormcast. I'm like, sure, I'll let him go cheap. I don't really care. Hell, I gave away my last two armies. Getting money for him is a bonus. Mm-hmm. You can continue to play them for a bit. You can count as them as a new army. In fact, even the Orcs and Beasts of Chaos, there might be something you can count as them all. You have to look for something similar base size. You just have to decide how much work you're willing to do. If the base size is the same, you could count Beastmen as some sort of regular Orcs. They're still Orcs in Oryx. Sorry, they changed them to Oryx so they could copyright it in Age of Sigmar. There's probably stuff you can use them as. You just have to be a little creative about it. People don't care about accounts as army as long as it's all pretty clear what's what. But again, that might be a little more having a local group. If you're playing pickup games, someone might have a problem with that. In which case, you don't really need to be playing anyone quite that particular. At that point, I think they're probably taking the game a skosh more serious than maybe they should be. Unless it's just a...
Miniature gaming is serious business.
It's really not.
It's super serious.
Yeah, I don't know, Legion. I have to take a look to see what they are, but I know the whole Beast of Chaos army is gone, and most of them are no longer in Age of Sigmar as anyway. I didn't go too deep into it because, to be candid, my give a shit's not high on that. It's more important to me as a talking point of what happens in another game. Like, this happened in GW, and this sounds really terrible, is probably the best case scenario because there's a lot of things you can do. All those Beastmen are going to be in the old world. If you want to play the old world, you're good. People will be looking for those models. If you have unbuilt stuff, people will be looking for them. You might not be able to get all your money back, but you get some. Better than a complete loss.
I mean, you could technically, if the models, they allow it, and you know what I'm saying when I say they allow it, you could rebase everything, but you know that's a chore and a half.
Yeah.
If you wanted to rebase them into, you know,
yeah,
the rank and flank,
you can rebase them if you want to play that game. Not everyone's going to want to play that game. You might like Age of Sigmar. There's some people out there who really love Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, and there's supposed to be some new changes.
It's a perfectly solid game. In fact, probably only has one real problem with it. If you don't know what that is, you haven't been following me on this channel for a while.
Supposedly, they're going to be changing that in the new edition.
Really? About fucking time. Should change it to fucking edition ago when everyone was bitching about it, except the tournament players.
Yeah, they said they're going to be changing it, what they said. We don't know yet. Because I have a friend of mine that plays Age of Sigmar, and I was asking him, you know, what they're changing. And they says they don't know. They said there's something that's coming from the double turn, but they are not sure what.
Yeah, the problem is they keep keeping it and trying to give you more ways to adjust to it. if you have to change your entire rules based on one single shitty rule, guess what you really should have done?
Change that one shitty rule?
Yeah, get rid of the shitty rule. Yes, I know tournament players like it, but they all build their armies to take advantage of it. That's not the same as it being a good rule.
Yeah.
That's an abusive rule and is bad. So I want to address what Banyan just said in the chat room, since we're on that sort of. He says, it's like they shouldn't have nuked 7th edition in rank and flank when they're trying to go back. No, actually, Banyan, they should have. The sales for that were fucking terrible.
Nobody was buying anything.
Yeah, it was like barely in the top 10 anymore. It was losing out to fucking X-Wing and War Machine Hordes and everything. There was no reason for them to keep it around. It wasn't selling. And honestly, it was not a beginner type game. It was not the kind of game Games Workshop wanted to make. Because it's a lot more complicated. There's a lot more depth of rules to it. That's why a lot of people graduated to it. We always used to joke that Warhammer Fantasy was chess and Warhammer 40K was checkers. And it's only half a joke. It was kind of true. As far as overall rules complexity goes. And that's fine, but, you know, some people wanted that GW-style fantasy game, and they wanted it easier. So, with no sales to back up keeping it, they changed it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a thing that happened. You know, it was a business decision they can defend. But now you decide what you're going to do there. You can go back. You can play the old world. But the problem is they're diluting a already diluted pool of players further. Like, for example, Nerd, do you have any? You didn't even know what the old world was.
Nope.
Exactly. So, you know, you only mentioned that you were glad you gave away that part of Dominion, which understandable.
Well, but, I gave away, like, I assembled one mini out of the entire Dominion box, and it is my tester model. But I used to test my paints on.
I'll be honest. A lot of the old, Stormcast models are great for testing. They have a lot of flat areas and some other areas with some texture.
Yeah.
Test a lot of stuff for them. That's why I tested my, Turbo Dorks.
Yep. That was what I was using it to test several of the Turbo Dorks on, or other metallics.
So Flying Hellfish, I think they've actually discontinued a bunch of Warcry stuff too. I don't think Warcry is going anywhere. It was an interesting idea, but there's a lot of people who have a mental block to playing chaos stuff. That's not their jam. They cannot disconnect enough from the thought of what chaos is to actually play a chaos thing, which is understandable. It's fine. But, you know, they tried to shoehorn the other factions in, but it never really worked too well.
Yeah.
So, back more to the main point. So for the other armies, the new ones that are going to the old world, you know, Beastmen, you can try and count as, you can try and rebase them if you want to play that game. Probably you're going to have to sell them. Then once you sell them, what do you do? I mean, at this point, let's ask Nerd, since Nerd's just into this, what would you do if the army you had just bought and put together is now no longer an army?
I'd be mad and probably throw them away.
That's a fair response. Absolutely fair response. Would you look at another GW game? Would you look at another GW army?
Not really. Like, if I invested that and they're already discontinued, especially if it's a newer faction like that, be like, what is the longevity of any faction at that point then?
That's absolutely fair. And that's what people should be looking at. That's I think, more than, like, we can argue the necessity. Yeah, GW has way too many stuff. Like, yes, the Sigmarites had way too many models. The Stormcast, way too many models. But what does that send? What message does that send? And honestly, they don't care. Because, again, they're the big dog.
Yeah.
They can do that. They're not really in any threat of losing like they were back in the day. That threat has passed. That particular company shit the bed and did not take full advantage, and thus they came back and more than recouped their players.
Yeah.
But granted, they're still losing players. We'll talk about that a little more maybe before the media section, because that's funny. That's the one Gonzo mentioned before the and the, before we started the pre-ramble nerd. I have a bunch of information on that. But so you've got these armies here. You just have to make that choice, you know. And it, if your friends are only playing those games, you don't really have a choice, unfortunately. The bonus is at that point you have friends who play the game, so you also don't have the same level of problems. Because, you know, my old Stormcast, if I want to play against the Krupa Games stuff or the Flying Hellfish or Baneon, they don't fucking care.
No.
You know, Gonzo's in the area, he don't care. Nerd in the area, she don't care. Just gonna play and have fun. But if you don't
Exactly.
have that crew, that type of the crew, if you're just the person who walks into the game store, gets a pickup game, generally using tournament rules, because those are the rules pickup games work by. I don't fucking know why, but for some reason they feel the need to. You're gonna have a problem after a point. You got about a year before those models aren't supported and aren't legal in tournaments, and people might start saying no to you. Luckily, that means you also have about a year to decide what you're gonna do. And you might have a good amount of that time to get a feel for what's going on. You can get a feel for, oh, hey, this isn't going to fly. Or, oh, hey, the secondary market prices have got high enough that I'll just get rid of them. And you should look at that. There are a bunch of people who, if they know they're not getting anything else again, they play in their basement with their best buddies and they don't fucking care. And fucking more power to them. Love those guys. And they'll be like, I want all the stuff. And you'll be able to get maybe not pretty penny, but reasonable recoup on your stuff. Honestly, if you've put some stuff together and played with it a bit, you've probably already made your money in fun. Like I'm not super angry about my Stormcast because I played them several times and I've done fine as far as money to fun ratio with them. But that's a decision you have to make for yourself where you want to go. But again, luckily you have that year or so time to decide really hard what you want to do. Talk with your local groups, see what they're doing. You know, communication is the key to a lot of things, and talking with them and seeing what they're going to do might be the best first case. Because if they're all going to jump ship to the old world, and you've got one of those armies that's going to the old world, well, you might be in luck. Rebasing stuff's a lot easier than having to get a whole new army. Hate to
Yeah.
tell you.
A lot cheaper.
Yes. And honestly, given that your skills have probably increased in painting and hobbying since you put those models on those bases, you might be able to do some cool stuff. You got time to know that it's coming. Maybe you go and, you know, throw up a James Wapol video and make some super crazy awesome bases in 12 seconds flat like he does.
Dude, you should see that man slap down OSL. Holy crap.
I'm more impressed by like his bases. You're like, he starts off like, oh, it's been like 10 minutes and he's already got this fucking super elaborate base on all of his guys. It is amazing. And that's what I look at as well. Maybe you tired of this army. Maybe this army you played it and you're like, yeah, I've been done with this army for a bit. Now I got an excuse. Cool, sell it, buy a new one. I'm here to tell you can get upset at GW as much as you want. They're not doing it with malice. They're doing it because it's a business decision. And it sucks. We get caught in the crossfire. And it's not that they don't care. They actually don't want you to leave. They're not even ambivalent. They don't want you to leave. They want you to stay, but they have to make those hard business decisions. You know, they can't keep making new models. Maybe they don't have the time for their staff to keep making rules, though I challenge that, like fucking come the fuck on. It ain't hard. You already work on the rules for an army. Make like fucking dozen new profiles and shut the fuck up. But maybe their rules designers are that tight on their work schedule. I believe that could be the case. So they're not going to. And so they're going away, and you just got to decide what you're going to do. And it's not the first time it's happened.
Yeah,
Not even the
that's what I've
first
heard.
time it's happened to me. Finally, not even the second time it's happened to me.
You know, one of the things that we haven't talked about what you can do with them and stuff is, you know, I'm gonna tell you right now, the Stormcast models are really cool models. You could do some really cool D&D shit with those and use them in D&D really, really well. because they have
that's
some
why
good
I always
models.
advocate never throwing away models. Keep them until you have to get rid of them because space becomes literally, we do not have any more of it.
Yeah, because I mean, you could technically use those as golems.
Also, as Legion would point out if he wasn't having trouble getting back in through Twitch, there's a bunch of minis agnostic rule systems out there you could use them for.
Yep, you could do them in if Kings of War is one.
Yeah, Kings of War. They even have them in a skirmish game if you want to use it.
Yep.
Right, take a look at those. Those are definitely definitely an option. But the key is, I think, getting with your local crew. Well, more important is what you feel in your soul. If you are fucking pissed off and you're like, never again, GW, first off, that's an absolutely fair response. Don't let anyone tell you it's not. That's your fun, your hard earned money you've put into stuff. Don't let anyone tell you that's not a fair response. It is. What you have to decide that. Yeah, Balrog John, Frostgrave, another good one. There's a bunch out there. But once you've decided internally, as long as you're not fuck GW, they can burn in hell. Then you should probably get with your group and go, okay, what are we doing as a group? Maybe multiple are affected. If you don't have a group, well, that's easy. You skip that step. I would say during this whole time, I would keep an eye on the secondary market, see what they're going for, because if they start getting to a point where people want them enough, that's a good out. You know? Especially if you're fuck GW, like, selling them, the best defense. Sell them, buy a different game that you want to play.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
find a friend that wants them.
I mean, yeah, like I said, I've given two armies away to friends just because, hey, I want this. Sure, cool, I'll have it. I'm not using it anymore. I don't care.
Yeah.
I got my fun out of them.
This purple worked pretty good, by the way.
Cool.
Got some good.
It looked pretty decent.
Yeah. I just thinned it out a little bit, you know, with water like you're supposed to, and
like you're supposed to, yes.
Shout out to Game Envy for the awesome, you know.
Hi, Shadow Sword 71. How are you doing?
For the awesome, you know, exemplar wet palette system. My favorite wet palette system.
Right. I have one too. Is good.
I don't have that one, but I do have a wet palette.
Yeah. I like the exemplar palettes.
But yeah, so once you figure the basic out, you know, like fuck GW or not fuck GW, are your guys doing something or not? Oh, Woofy Nerd.
Woofy Nerd, all right.
Oh, I forgot one model.
Thanks, Cookie.
Speaking of which, I don't know if we did this or not. Just in case someone got a wild hair up their pants. Anyways, but yeah, so you can decide if you're fuck GW or not fuck GW. Then from there, find out if you have a local group, what the local group's going to be doing. Because if they're jumping ship or if they have interest in another game, maybe you want to just go to that other game. Nothing wrong with that.
Nope. There are plenty out there.
You do not owe any loyalty to GW or any game company. It is a mutually beneficial arrangement. They make rules and models that you may like, and you give them money. There's no, you don't have a horse in the race of defending their decisions. Just be like, okay, cool, whatever, dude. You know, I talked to a lot of people, and we were all the same general opinion, like, this isn't the first time GW has done this stupid shit. It's a little heavy-handed, a little egregious, but it's what they do.
I was just really surprised that it was the Stormcast Eternals.
Yeah, it was a little bit surprising, but they're redoing the basic ones. I don't like the redo anyways.
That's really surprising, because that was just recently came out, aka Dominion Box.
Yeah, it's egregious, but is what it is. And also, getting rid of two armies is not good, but, I mean, again, I had a very extensive Dogs of War army. You guys can all say, what? It's okay. I was also working on a crude army, isn't that right there, Flying Hellfish? So that's, of course, now come full circle where it's actually an army again, but way too fucking late for that. That ship has fucking sailed. But yeah, so talk with your crew, figure out what you're doing, you know, It's like when my crew said, "Oh, hey, we're gonna play Necromunda." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not playing Necromunda. I might come over and say hi to you guys, but I'm not gonna play it. I'm not buying models for it. Better things I can do." Spoiler: those little things are action figures. Who knew? But the Shadows, remember the Dogs of Army? I had a lot of them. I loved them so much, character, but played them until there was no longer any chance of playing them. Legion of the Damned, yeah, kind of Legion of the Damned, which really sucked because they put in a bunch of good models for them for a while, and then. Psh, but again, Long Drawn, yep, Flying Hellfish, Long Drawn Slayer, and his pirates. But yeah, so find out with your crew, find out what you're doing. Like I said, it might be a good chance to jump ship. I mean, and I hate to say this, maybe you're no longer really interested in playing miniature games anymore. That's okay.
Yeah.
Our interests change as we go through time. That's part of being human. It's okay. Maybe you don't see the point. Maybe you've got other things to interest you. Maybe just the computer games have gotten to the point where that's what you want to do. Maybe you just got all role playing now. Whatever it is, card games. Maybe you're, playing Star Wars Unlimited.
Lorcana.
Maybe you make the decision that that's what you spend your time on. It's okay, but now's a good time to take that reflection. If you were only playing Age of Sigmar, you could take that reflection. But always remember that while you're not doing something, you may have weird memories of it. Like, because I cannot play a game for a while and go like, I don't really miss it. Then I play it and go like, you know what? I actually did fucking miss it. I was just lying to myself. That's hard internal retrospective, which is difficult. I mean, Cookie, I feel you there.
Yeah, Cookie said.
Buying model kits. He started buying model kits, looks over the Star Trek kits, never said he was building them. That's fair. Look, I mean,
Look at our piles of potential.
exactly. I love that word phrasing. But also, I'm a big believer in whatever it takes to get you by. If you buy that kit and you think about maybe putting it together and it brings you joy, fucking A, it's done its job. You know? Like half these figures behind me, I don't pose too often, but you know what? They bring me joy. Look, I got Robin Hood right here. Fucking Robin Hood.
Yes, you
The
do,
Disney
and I'm so
one.
jealous of that because that is the bestest Robin Hood.
Yeah, I don't pose him too often, but he's fucking great. He's eating ice cream right now. Why? Because of fucking ice cream too.
Because it's Robin Hood.
I mean, it fits. When I finally get the archery targets into the archery contest, he will be heavily involved in that. I'm gonna make Cookie sad and other people too. I've never seen all of Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh, that is on my ones to review this week.
That is funny. Honestly, Disney Robin Hood's my favorite. I do enjoy the Kevin Costner one, even though he doesn't speak with an English accent. Yes, I've seen all the clips from fucking Men in Tights. That's for why I haven't bothered watching it. There'll be a time when I sit down to watch it. It just never was. It came out when I was working a lot. There's a lot of things like that. X-Men 97. The reason I don't have a horse in that particular race is because it came out when I was busy working all the time and I didn't see a ton of it.
There.
It's okay. That's another thing. I'm gonna go through it for a second here, just because here's a non sequitur for you guys. In memoriam of the sequitur second Stormcast models that are going away. Here's a
Oh,
non
man.
sequitur. That's terrible.
Ah.
Give myself the finger for that one. Anyways, let's stop trying to shame other nerds because they haven't seen some nerd property that you love. We all had different things going on in our life at different times. Fucking, I'm gonna talk about a movie that nerd probably has never seen, and it's okay because it's from a little before her time. It's almost from before my time. Not from before Gonzo's time. That's the land before time.
That's the land before time. That's where my means of communication
But
was sticks and rocks
yeah, people
and
are
snort
like,
giggles.
hey, John, you don't care about X-97? No, I wasn't watching the cartoon so much. I watched some of it, but I like had to fucking work.
True.
I was reading X-Men comics. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'm reading the comics. It's all good. You share your love for it, but don't get like upset that they haven't seen your favorite nerd thing. Don't get bent out of shape. It's not personal.
But
Trust
you
me.
don't be afraid to share it. If you
Yeah.
like it, share it
Yeah, share
because
it if
they
you
may
like
have
it.
not had a chance to see it because they didn't know about it.
But try and also try and be measured in your love of it. Because sometimes it's just a thing that you want. There's a lot of movies I love that I know the average person doesn't love, and it's okay. That just makes it more special when someone does love the nerd property you love. A perfect example is The Adventures of Hudson Hawk, which I love. Gonzo loved, Kathy loved. When I showed it to my ex-roommate Creekins, she loved it too, and I was shocked and very
What was it?
pleased. The Adventures of Hudson Hawk, Bruce Willis.
It's, I know I've seen that. I just I
You could be
don't
swinging
ask
on
me
a
about
star.
it.
Oh, it's.
Yeah, I know I've seen it because I've used the name. Like I know it's been so long that
But
I
yeah,
don't remember
it
anything
occurred
about
to me,
it.
like, it's like all those things. Like, hey, it's okay if they did that. Like, hey, if someone hasn't read Lord of the Rings, it's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe just watch the movies. Movies are really good. Someone hasn't seen, I don't know, something like Ready Player One, it's okay. Just watch the movie. The movie's great.
Or
It's great.
read the book.
Or not. Or remember, if you do a Johnny Dangerously, though. Johnny Dangerously, another good,
Oh my
fun
gosh.
Michael
Oh
Keaton
my God.
movie. Michael Keaton's great. But yeah, introduce them to this stuff, but don't be like super upset. It's not personal. They didn't see it. We want everyone to love the things we love, but you have to realize that everyone's going to.
I will get deeply offended by anyone who's not seen Princess Bride, though.
There are exceptions, to be sure.
Every nerd should see Princess Bride.
And
But
F the studio for the saying they wanted to remake that.
what?
Yeah,
How and why?
they're trying to figure out a way to remake Princess Bride, and I'm like, nope.
You can't. I
Nope, you
mean,
can't.
hold on. I will give it a pass if Fred Savage is the grandfather telling the story
actually.
again to another kid and it's the same basic story, but the details are different. That I might give a pass to.
Okay, they kind of sort of did that during COVID with the celebrity like film Princess Bride filmed at home during co yeah, like that was brilliant. I loved
Yeah,
that.
there are ways to do it. And honestly, part of this stuff is being an open mind to things. You know, we
Yeah.
talked about it with when the Roadhouse trailer came out. I haven't seen Roadhouse yet. Sorry, the new one.
Haven't either. Really
Where
don't mind.
it's a reimagining, not a remake. That's fine.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's my little non sequitur in there. It's okay if someone isn't a fan of your nerd. It even goes for Warhammer, too. Someone's not a big fan of your Warhammer, so it's fine. It's fine. Tell them what it's about, maybe show them a little bit. If they're still not interested, who cares? It's good. People at work look at me like I'm fucking crazy when I have Chester Cheetah standing on my fucking desk. And I'm like, and? This just in. John's a weird nerd. Film at 11. I know,
What?
right? Yeah, they're part of my goal. The new crew is a little concerning, but I'd like to say I'm gonna give it a fair chance, but I'm gonna give it a more fair chance in other things. But yeah, so back to this, the end of this is, just sort of get a thought of where you want to go yourself when your army's discontinued. And it won't just be GW, other companies will do it. A company might go out of business, but remember, you've got the rules. They in your hand. You can continue to play. Back in the day, that's how you did things. We had, not miniature game, but role-playing wise, we had years and years of the old Phase Rip Marvel role-playing game that we played well after it had been discontinued.
Oh yeah.
Oh no. Nerd's looking at me like she hasn't heard of that one.
The old
TSR from
school.
the 80s did a old Marvel game, and their stats were fighting, agility, strength, endurance, reason, intuition, and psyche. So they call it Phase Rip, FASERIP, to keep it separate from the other series of Marvel that came out since then.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Cookie says his buddies still play the D6 Star Wars role-playing game. It's still a good system. You still
Yep.
have the rules. In fact, some of these rules have made their way. The whole D6 system is online as an open resource. You just need the Star Wars stuff. And they reprinted the core book, hell, for one of the anniversaries, and it did not sell well, unfortunately. You can still find them out there cheap. I got mine half price years ago. And a lot of that stuff's online. Sometimes you can buy it cheap on DriveThruRPG. Like, I love that so many things they're old. They're not going like, oh, it's out of print. You have to pay great money for the PDF. They're like, no, here, $5, PDF, here.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, one, even if that stuff goes out, you can still play it, you know. And that's more important for other game systems than this, because honestly, most other, in fact, I'm trying to think of another time that a game system made an entire faction not. I've had some models change significantly enough that they might be playable.
At least it's not like Magic the Gathering, where, like, as soon as they release new cards or like a new line of cards, like old ones become
Something rotate out,
obsolete.
yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's just for, I mean, I could nerd out on this, but that's just for a certain style of play. They've made it
Yeah.
so there are different versions, so you have what you want. Most will play that just because
Tournament
it's
scene.
not 3 months mania, and it's number of sets. And actually, I haven't seen in a while. It might actually be 3 months nowadays, but yeah, but they have a thing, and yeah, that's a problem too. It's the same sort of thing. Your cards rotate out. That's why I shake my head at everyone who spends a ton of money on cards. I
Yeah.
saw at the local game store someone paid someone like $400 or something like that for a single card from Star Wars Unlimited.
Damn.
Was like a foily Palpatine, and I'm like, dude, you did not study the history of Star Wars games, or you would fucking not do that in a, any ever. Can't be that good. Maybe it will bring him $400 of joy. That's sort of his business. But from my point of view, it would not bring me $400 worth of joy. That's like his tank plus joy. That's tough. Oh, no, that's almost like four Rambos.
All the Rambos.
All the Rambos. But yeah, so you need to decide where you're going to go with that stuff. What's, you know, what you're going to do. Like, we've had lots of games. Like, we had, like, personally, we were playing a bunch of Babylon 5 Wars. Then it went sideways.
Guild Ball.
Yeah, went away. I mean, we'd actually bought into their ground game. It was called Gropos for ground pounders. It never went anywhere. Me and Frank loved the rules. The rules were really good and tight. But, I mean, it was a big enough IP. And no one really crack in there. Actually, Bayonetta, it's not a callback because we saw some Forge of Rambo Knife. It's a callback because Rambo's on sale on Amazon. I just don't feel like paying $120 for an action figure. And Cookie, I don't want to tease you, but I could go get it from the other room if if you want.
What?
It's sitting in the other room, the Hiss Tank.
Oh, yeah.
Mean, it's rare I would call something that's $300 worth every penny. It's worth every penny. Oh, I'll be back in a second.
You got called out. But I mean,
This reminds me of, like, I don't know, the first experience I ever had with something being canceled or like discontinued was when the X-Files card game came out back in the
oh, yeah.
90s, but it came out at the same time as like an entire new expansion of Magic, the Star Wars collectible card game, and like something else. So it just flopped, and I'd spent all this money on cards with no one to play with.
Yeah. The worst part is you've played with it and now you don't get to, or eventually
Yeah.
you won't get to. And you look at it and you're like, damn it. That's always the pain in the ass about the whole situation, is there's just so much, especially if you spent, I mean, I was talking to somebody and he had spent nearly $4,000 on his army and, you know,
Damn.
many, you know, 300 or 400 hours painting it, and now it's worthless. And I'm like, yeah, I would be upset with that. I would be upset with that in a heartbeat.
It's huge, Cookie.
That's what she said.
Not a model kit, it's an action figure technically, but it has lights.
Lights. For anybody listening, John brought his tank in so everybody could see it.
Yes.
Because he got called out.
Well, I
It's not
mean,
just vague innuendo.
no, it's not. It is giant. It is worth every penny. I'm a giant nerd. The His Tank is one of those things I had loved, and it was just like,
Did you have one
I
as
know
a
he's not
kid?
listening. I did have one as a kid, yes. This one is so much more detailed. Very much enjoyed it so far, Cookie. Cookie, it's not remote control. It is just light up. It does, the treads move, though. I mean, hold on. The treads do move fully. You know, it's got, it's just been, oops, hit the lights again. Let me cycle through them all.
John plays with his toys.
Got a lot of different light modes. Chopper and a Jeep coming soon. I took a picture of the Vamp. It's on our Facebook page today. I do have a chopper coming, the Dragonfly. I'll show that off when it comes in. One second, put this somewhere that's not taking up all my desk space.
Get to the chopper.
Are we doing on time?
We still got like 10 minutes, nine,
Okay.
10 minutes.
I'm almost done. Using these, I'd never even thought about the silicone sticks from
And since Banyan said something, this is the Vamp Jeep. Roller wheels, rubber tires, mobility. It's a lot less expensive. This is much more.
affordable.
Yeah. I mean, unless you get like Faelong and fucking the Terminator to fucking crew it because I'm stupid like that. Why is Faelong driving? Because he was fucking sitting there. There's not a Devilfish yet, Cookie, but they're looking at a lot of vehicles coming out. I mean, they'd made some motorcycles back there. They're doing ATVs. But yeah, so it's really cool. All right, nerd, John nerding out on
Ooh, what
action
if we
figures. And I,
have you do
oh.
a let's talk about all the cool new action figures and showing them off channel thing? That
I
one could
would,
be,
but there are a lot of other channels that do that already.
but not in the style of John.
Generally, no. Hail Hydrate. That's a good call. I've been drinking a lot.
Needed to
Cheers.
Hydration. Got the rest of those model spaces. Hail Hydrate.
Oh. But no, I do have others coming. I have another Jeep from another company coming, and then I have a car that can be a Challenger or a Charger 70s style coming. I did not get the General Lee. We just did decide that it was a little too problematic from a social point.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see what else we got here. We're finishing up Art of McIlvoy. Slightly different topic. Anyone have any experience regard to professionally GMing? Well, we all have GMing experience. I don't know if any of us have professionally GMed.
I
They've
have
never
actually
paid me for it.
professionally, GM'd. I never did it. They got the new, website where you can pay and all that stuff. I've never done it that way. I have been paid to GM, but it's through a company, and they were like, "Hey, we need you to run this, at a convention,"
Oh,
type thing.
I would not call that professionally GMing, but yeah, it is very, very similar and probably
Yes.
close enough that we could.
Yeah.
Because I've run stuff at conventions too for quote unquote money, but I don't count it the same thing.
It is the biggest problem is you're providing a product, and if that product isn't good enough, you're not going to get people back to do the product.
But I mean, if you've already GM'd a bunch. And as long as you're good at keeping an ear to what the players want and what they're having fun with, you'll do fine.
Yeah, you really have to. The big thing you have to do is you have to actually talk with who you're going to be doing it for professionally,
Yeah, you
and
need to
then,
know, you really need to have session zero and understand what they're about first.
yeah.
And a giant, an additional fuck you to all those guys. Say session zero isn't important, doesn't happen. Haha, fuck you guys, it's important. Anyways. And Shadow Sword wants to know, I need to get some Star Wars Lego kits every time I see one, I think I want it. But then I try and be responsible, not get it. So that is fair.
Ooh.
I will say the biggest part of being an adult and being responsible, I found this past week or so when I decided to get the Ramen Racer, which is the Charger Challenger. But to do so, I actually took a Kickstarter I was backing and lowered my backing by pretty much the cost of it to try and not incur any more money. So I understand 100%, but you do have to put aside some money for your fun. Like if you're buying a bunch of models and stuff, and maybe you get to the point where you're like, I've got enough models. Like I don't need to buy any Marvel Crisis Protocol models. I only do because of circumstances. But if you get to that point where you're like, I've got enough right now, maybe take a look on, oh, hey, you know, I didn't buy anything gaming related this month. My budget's okay. Maybe I buy a Lego set and have some fun with it. Start with some small ones, maybe. My buddy, as like kind of a thank you and everything for me buying him a Snake Eyes for Christmas, had gotten a second Optimus Prime model kit. So he gave that to me. I'll put it together at some point.
Love Lego kits.
Ben says, I want all of them, but they are so expensive. And space. My upper floor is action figures already. That's not 100% true. I haven't taken over the whole floor yet. Give me time.
Not
But
yet.
he's not far wrong. Look, I want to get some more displays and set up some more things. I've got some ideas. I told you I need to find a water thing because I have a Fortnite boat I got stupid cheap. And then I've got Shipwreck and Torpedo and then two of the 40th anniversary action divers. Because it comes with white head, the black head, and I want one of each because that is fair. So I got two. Because I'm stupid like that. Anyways. I think we're almost in the media section, and boy, are we gonna have some stuff to talk about.
Oh yeah.
Let me go and switch over. I'm just getting some.
And as a spoiler, I'm not going to talk about everything I watched because I actually watched a fair amount of stuff.
A fire. Just the important stuff.
I'm going to talk about probably three things. Maybe two, depending on how long you talk.
I've got two or three.
743.
I know.
Like usual. Let's see. What do I got? Hi, 'cause I wrote it down, of course. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I got four.
Only
So,
really?
yeah.
Three,
Well, I was doing
four,
also.
five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. It's like a dozen.
Well, I mean, I've been doing a lot of catching up on, my TV shows, and I'm not, going to do much on those TV shows.
Yeah, well, I
There
really
will be
watch
no
too much.
Fallout spoilers done this episode, which I'll go and
We will
go.
be getting some. We'll talk in some Fallout. We'll try to be spoiler free because, as I said, pre-ramble, I think not Brushhead Dave is coming over on Thursdays to watch it with me.
Gotcha.
Spoilers, it's amazing. That's what I've heard on Arbuckle Boy, and I've never played a Fallout game or anything. It just looked interesting to me.
So let's see. The first thing I'll talk about. So I've been putting together miniatures and terrain because we had the Shatterpoint stuff, and so I needed something in the background to, keep me busy. And so I put on Korra, which is the Legend of Korra, which is the other
Spin-off anime
spinoff
series.
of, the Avatar. So I watched it all through again from beginning to end. And I still enjoy it. I still think Korra is a great Avatar series. I can't wait to see the next one if they ever finally do, the next Avatar. And I'm okay with it. I think one of the problems with it is they rely too much on you knowing the previous people, and I think that's kind of I wouldn't say the bane of it, but one of the issues is I want it to be about Korra. I don't care about those other people because they had their time. And they were cool, and sure, there was their history and so on and so forth. And yeah, it was nice to see the cool people, come up. But I think it would have been better if it was just strictly them. And of course, that, Nickelodeon didn't fuck them over on a season.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it got cut short because Korra and the other female characters started getting romantically involved. And so that was, but this has been a while, so that was kind of still a hot button item. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. I think the Avatar universe is great. It's got a lot of good history behind it. It's got a lot of good characters. The role playing game is amazing, by the way, if you're into the role playing
Okay.
game. The role playing game is a lot of fun. The biggest problem that I have with being a role playing game is it's an intellectual property and nobody can play the avatar. You have to do a, you have to get the players to go, we're not playing Aang as the avatar. We're playing that time period, but this did not happen. So fuck the TV show type thing.
Yeah.
Dude, Airbender. We're talking about Korra. I binged the entire season series, and I liked it. It was still fun. I give it like a one, because there is some, issues with it, kind of just going back to all the old people. But I love the characters. I love the crew. I would have liked to have seen, the Korra team, Korra, go out and do more stuff and have more fun, because they worked really well together and they were a lot of fun. And everybody had their shtick. One person was the plucky, happy-go-lucky person. The other, the Avatar, and then so on and so forth. I enjoyed it. So overall, rewatch it again. I give it a one. One spacer.
Fair enough.
John?
Many weeks ago now, I watched Dune Part 2 in the theater.
Oh,
Oh.
I haven't got a chance to see it yet.
It is the worst, best movie I've ever seen. It is absolutely
Gotcha.
a best movie. It is really good, but it's the worst of them. And I really want to reread the book so I can see how much of it is just them faithfully adapting it, and how much of it is maybe them sort of losing it a little bit at the end. Because the beginning, the whole beginning part is great. Like, you actually like Paul Atreides and everything he's doing and all that. And you're like, this is cool. He's trying to fit in. He just wants to kill some fucking Harkonnens, and who can fucking blame him?
Yeah.
And then you get, Josh Brolin back, and then you get like the Josh Brolin, you get the Gurney Halleck Stilgar buddy cop, and I want the Gurney Halleck Stilgar buddy cop movie. Fucking A, those two are so funny together.
Yes.
And in fact, I think one of the weird things is probably that at points that takes us out a little bit because they're so funny when the rest of the movie really isn't. And I know Javier Bardem is trying to be fully serious, but some of the times it just hits the wrong way.
I could see that.
But it is well done. It is well acted for the most part. It just feels like at a certain point, it goes from its nice steady pace, and it's just, I mean, there's no spoilers because this is, I mean, first off, there was a movie that had the same basic plot structure, and there's a book that may have been out for a little bit that had the same basic plot structure. Hey, it's called Dune. And he basically drinks the water of life, and then suddenly it's like boom, 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 end of the movie. Like, the fuck? There's extra stuff added in to try and make Fade like a threat and shit, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're like, he wasn't in the movie enough. He wasn't in the first movie. There's a whole thing about Gurney Halleck wanting to get revenge against the Beast Raban, but you don't see any of that shit in the first movie. And even if you did, that was fucking 2 movie hours ago. You don't fucking care anymore. There's no emotion in that shit. And in that case, it just feels off. Like, yeah, good job. I don't really care. The fight between Paul and Fade is cool, but like at that point, Fade doesn't feel like he's anything more than he feels sort of shoehorned in. Do I think it probably should have been 3 movies? That probably should have been 3 movies. Or it probably should have been a properly done streaming show. But it's still good. I'm going to give it one. Again, would not call it bad, but man, most of the other best movies are better than it. They're better paced. It just feels off. But I do recommend it, especially if you saw the first one and enjoyed it. I feel like overall it's better than the first one, but not by a far stretch. And a good part of that far stretch is Duncan Idaho, because fucking A, they gave him his due that one. Anyways, nerd.
I'm impressed that I managed to go this long without seeing this movie, but I watched RIPD.
My condolences.
Yeah.
I was gonna watch it, and then my buddy Marshall told me not to, and I'm like, yep, nah, okay, we're good.
Yeah, they've made a part two.
What?
Yeah, there's a part two.
Yeah. It's like direct to video. It didn't go to the theater.
Yeah. It's like it was trying to be the like MIB of the underworld. Or the afterlife. Like, Is it based on a comic?
It is
Think
actually
so.
based on a comic.
Okay, I thought so. But yeah.
I think the best part of that movie I heard is that James Hong is in it, and everyone loves James Hong.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He hands down best part of that movie, because I was just like, I've seen a lot of Ryan Reynolds movies. A lot of them that are very kind of meh. This one was super meh. It
Yeah,
was
until he hit that
tropey,
Deadpool-y.
predictable.
Yeah.
So I give it 3.
That seems actually fair. Based on what I've heard, it seems fair.
Yeah.
Dead MIB is the
You're
perfect
not
way to put it.
missing anything, huh?
Yeah, the Flying Hellfish says dead and MIB is the perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it, yeah, that was the feeling that I got. All right, Gonzo, back to you.
So something that Discovery started back, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It just started back, and it's every Thursday, I think, is the time. So we're a few episodes in. I'm not going to spoil it because I know some people haven't started watching it yet. But it's been really good. I'm going to miss this show because I like Discovery. I like the characters of Discovery. I like how they, I like everybody in it. I think it's a great show. The first three episodes, first two or three episodes are out, and I am enjoying it. It is very much Star Trek. It's very much the way everybody acts. So I'm really happy with it. I did also see that Strange New Worlds has got renewed for another season,
Season
and
4, by the by. Not 3. They already had 3 done. 4 has been re they renewed for a fourth season.
yeah, and then what is it?
Lower Decks,
Lower Decks has
last
got
season.
last season, which is okay. I'm glad they get a last season. I would rather see a show get a last season than just dump off the earth.
Yep. And
Go ahead.
I never really got into Lower Decks. I keep trying, but I'm just like, fuck, I. When you're more terrible humor and not loving homage and funny comedy, when you don't hit the bar that is fucking Galaxy Quest, it's a problem for me.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's a high bar. That's like an actual legitimate high bar, but that's what it always feels like. And I feel like, well, Galaxy Quest did this shit better.
But I'm glad that they're getting the last season, and
Yeah, I want every series, even the ones I don't like, to get a last season so they can loot and can clean up and tie up stuff.
But I thoroughly enjoyed the first three episodes. There's some really good touching scenes in there. They're letting characters, explore outside of Star Trek already and move on without being on the deck.
My only problem with Discovery is, and I don't like Burnham. She's fine, but I don't actually like her. I would have shot her out an airlock sometime in season one.
Yeah.
And
But
she's done
I
cool stuff between then. It's just, I just.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying it. I can't wait for the rest of it. I'll give it a final rating once the season is over. John?
I watched the first episode of The Greatest American Hero. I've been watching a lot of first episodes of old 80s shows and all that. And I'm not going to watch the second episode of this. Was not good. I know it's 80s and you're like, oh, John, it was 80s, different time. Yes. It was trying to do way too much with it. And in even like an hour and a half, basically, story, it's trying to do way too much. The characters weren't really, for the most part, likable. Knowing what a special education teacher does, thanks, Gonzo, that whole making him a special education teacher for high school students was a little much. It's a product of its time. If you have good memories of it, don't rewatch it. I'm gonna be nice, grade it on its time, and give it 2.5 space herpes. I'm certain, since this is the pilot episode, probably, and it's a little different than the rest, that as you get into the rest of the episode, it evens out, finds its footing. Because I remember watching it and enjoying it when I was younger. But having watched a bunch of 80s, and 70s, I watched Space 1999, I watched Magnum PI, I watched MacGyver, a couple others. All of those made me want to watch the second episode. And in most cases, I did at least watch second, maybe third, maybe fourth episodes, just as I was having time. This did not give me any desire to. But I think also to finish on that, superhero stuff has gotten so much better since then. So
Oh, yeah.
part of it's probably that, but I don't suggest it. I mean, it is free on Amazon Prime, also free on YouTube. So if you get a Wild Hair Up Your Ass, you want to give it a shot, go for it. But I don't suggest it. Nerd?
So did another document. Well, this one was a biopic. I thought it was a documentary until I started recognizing people. It's called Reality. It's about, oh God, now I'm trying to remember. Reality, some I it's about the whistleblower from the NSA about Russia tampering with the election and tampering in the elections. I can't remember, but this woman, her name is actually Reality. And it's focusing on her, and it's trying, it does the thing that biopic like that do, where they try to make that particular person seem super sympathetic. But
Oh my God, her name's Reality Winner.
Reality.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Hashtag poor parental choices.
Exactly. So that's about on par. Like the movie itself, it was over dramatic. Like I understood the point that they were trying to make. I just didn't care.
Okay, her parents, I mean, she was born in 1991, so her parents are, ooh. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Ooh. Anyways,
Yep.
proceed. Sorry.
No, that's so I give it like a two and a half.
You've not had a good week of movies.
No. All right, Gonzo.
Gonzo.
So my dogs are going crazy right now. We are gonna do one together, nerd, because X-Men 97 released episode 5
Oh.
this week. I've
I am not
loved
okay, Gonzo. I am not okay.
I love the X-Men 97 series because I remember watching it, and I love X-Men. They're my favorite comic to read and my favorite characters. And you know, I'm giving my favorite character to John, which will be mailed off this week. And everything, and
It's got to be Nightcrawler because you're not a Bishop guy.
no, I Nightcrawler is my favorite comic
Yeah,
book hero of all
I
time.
figured as much.
Yeah, he's always been. But this episode was the episode to watch.
Yeah.
We're not going to spoil it because I know some people are doing there, but they hold no, they didn't hold back this episode. This is amazing. They still have the same art style, but they did a lot of weird shoots that were really, really good, like close-ups and good pans and all this stuff. And you know, it was super, super good. There was some very good, you know, choking tear moments. They're pushing the show where it hasn't gone before, which I'm good. You can't just do the same thing as original. It wouldn't
Yeah.
fly eventually. Eventually, you're like, okay, yeah, they're doing this. But I really, really enjoyed this one. This one really tugs on the heartstrings. This one really does a lot of cool stuff.
It's
Zero.
emotionally brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which is good because we need to see that. We need to see this show mature and the show give us stuff. But this was really good. If you're an X-Men fan, you'll love X-Men 97. So far, it's zero for me. Even all the
Zero.
fun stuff, even the silly one episode they've had before. But 100%, this last episode just kicked people in the teeth. Zero from me. Nerd, give me your, give
Zero.
me, give, without spoiling it, how did you react?
I just kept turning in my room and going, I'm not okay. This is not okay. I'm not okay with this. No.
I actually sent a
I can't
message to
say
Mizzy.
more than that because then that will spoil
Yeah,
things.
I sent Mizzy, it's like, have you caught up on X-Men 97? If not, do it now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't wait. Turn on your TV. And she's like, oh, this is really cool. I see why you like you know, this episode, because it has Nightcrawler in it. And I'm like, just wait.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
And then I get this. God damn it.
It's a moment that is both epic and heart-wrenching at the same time.
Correct. Which is good.
Yeah.
I always say, you know, so we're like, why do you watch this movie if it makes you feel, you know, sad or emotional? Because that's what they're trying to do. And if a show does that and it makes me feel that, good for the show. If they try to make me feel something and I'm not feeling it, that's a problem with the show. Complete emotional damage. Loved it. Can't wait for the next episode. John?
I watched a ton of other movies and all, but I'm going to talk about one of my favorites, what I would call a sci-fi classic, and most of you ain't even fucking seen it. It's called The Black Hole. It is a Disney movie from 1979. It's sort of, people call it Disney Star Wars, but that's not really fair. Because Star Wars sort of changed the game for movies, because its pacing is so much quicker than most movies of the time. Like, if you wonder how you go Star Wars and then you see the Star Trek the Motion Picture, the first one, and how it's so much more slowly paced, because that's what movies were in the 70s. If you look at 70s movies, they're a lot slower paced. This is sort of a halfway between. It's slower paced through a lot of it, but then it sort of goes real fast afterwards. And basically, holy, it's science fiction. It's a crew of the Palomino. It's a ship that is doing deep space exploration. And they're coming back home, and they encounter another ship that turns out to be an old, long-lost, you know, ship as well. So, of course, they board it and then meet the commander and all of his robots and stuff. And then shenanigans ensue. And not necessarily happy shenanigans. It is a bit of a dark movie. It stars Maximilian Schell as the commander of the ship they encounter. It has Anthony Perkins, Ernest Borgnine, the voices of Roddy McDowall and Slim Pickens.
Now that's a cast.
Look, Roddy McDowall doing Vincent, he is so fucking sassy. But he's like wise sassy. Every time you're like, you know, like everything you imagine R2-D2 is saying, Vincent's probably actually saying it, just a little less bleeped out and a little more sassy. He's got such wonderful nuggets of wisdom. And then old Bob's like the old cantankerous. I mean, if you know who Slim Pickens is, like he's got that Western drawl. It is great. It also has Robert Forrester in it, who is not a big actor. You might have seen him in some things, but he's an actor I've liked in just about everything I've seen him in. He plays the captain of the ship. And I don't want to say it's fun, but it's enjoyable. It is a bit, I don't want to say horror, but goes more towards the horror suspense. A little bit of action at the end. Does a little bit of everything. And it has sort of a, I don't want to say 2001 ending, but the ending goes a bit closer to 2001 than it does to a standard movie ending. But unlike 2001, where you're sort of going, the fuck is going on here? What are they trying to say? It's pretty clear what they're saying. They're pretty, there's some depth to the allegory, but it's reasonably clear in there. There are some things we don't like. Neil deGrasse Tyson's gone on and bitched about parts of it, how it's not scientifically accurate. I'm like, it's fucking science fiction, dude. Fuck off. You know, I love Neil deGrasse Tyson, but he needed to be pushed in a couple more lockers when he was younger. Stop taking the fun out of things. But I enjoy the crap out of it. It's Disney movie. It's on Disney Plus. You can watch it. It's a pretty good render of the movie. I'm still waiting for them to make a proper 4K. I hope for a proper 4K steelbook, because I'm a fucking nerd and I would buy the steelbook. I have a Blu-ray. I had it on DVD. I had it on VHS. I have the VHS collector's tin. I'm a fucking nerd. I have five action figures from it. Gonzo got me one of those, or two of those, I think, maybe three. So I love it. Enjoy it. I'm going to give it one. You might not like it that much. It's okay. But I enjoy the crap out of it. It's not my favorite movie, but it's really good.
It was one of those Disney shows that you don't feel like it's a Disney show because it's so
No.
dark.
And
And they kind of didn't recognize it as a Disney show. It was like, oh, black hole, and they look away, type thing.
yeah. Yeah, and the funny thing is when they made it, they went to Lucasfilm saying, "Hey, we want to use your the camera they use for doing miniatures in front of matte paintings." And ILM said no. So they made their own, and ironically, they made one that was better than the one ILM had. That's, I mean, those things are good, and it is very atmospheric. I definitely like, if it sounds like your cup of tea, give it a shot. It's John approved. Nerd?
Let's see. Did I talk about Men in Tights last time, or was.
No.
Okay, so I watched Robin Hood Men in Tights again for the umpteenth time. I mean, I will pretty much watch any Mel Brooks movies at any point.
Blazing Saddles in the theater this year.
Yes, it is. That was one of the two first two DVDs I ever bought my parents. I got a Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein.
You gotta go with my two favorite Mel Brooks. And yes, that's better than Spaceballs. Sorry, Spaceballs is a third.
Yeah, no, Young Frankenstein is my favorite.
Yep.
But no, it's been a while since I had seen Men in Tights, and it's just as ridiculous as I remember, if not more so. I greatly enjoyed it. I give it, I mean, it's a classic. I give it like a half a space herpy. Because it's not his best work, but it's damn good. Gonzo.
I'm going to talk about Fallout.
Okay.
No spoiler, so don't have to worry about that. But before I talk about Fallout, I want to talk about Walton Goggins.
Walton Goggins? Oh, fuck, I
Walter
can talk about Walton
Goggins.
Goggins.
Yeah.
Walter Goggins.
So first time I remember seeing him was in The Shield. He's
Yeah,
been in
okay.
smaller stuff, but that's when I really saw him because he was in that, and it was cool. And The Shield, if you haven't watched it, and you like corrupt cop TV shows, watch The Shield. It's an amazing thing. And then when he did Justified,
Justified fucking A.
when he was
I
in
still need to see
Justified,
that.
oh, it's one of my top series of all time.
The dialogue in that series is so snappy, and he delivers it all so well.
Yes.
Like, he was supposed to die in the first episode, but they're like, nah, now we're keeping you around.
Yeah. Because I saw this article going, Fallout will make you look at Walter Goggins as not just that guy anymore. I'm like, who? This guy's
Who looks at
always
him
been
as
a
that
great,
guy? Yeah.
yeah, he's always been a great actor.
Yeah.
He's
Like, if
always
you
been
watched
entertaining.
Justified and you didn't, and you thought of him as that guy still, you got a problem.
Yeah, he was amazing in that. And I always look at, and anytime I see him in something, I'm like, ooh, what's it going to be? Because he's always done really well. He's an amazing actor. I love him to death anytime he's in something. And when he was in The Shield and Justified, those are key defining roles in his acting career,
But
especially
even in the
Justified.
small stuff, like
Yeah.
he's in Predators, he's good in that, and then he's also like 12 seconds in the second G.I. Joe movie, but he's enjoyable in the 12 seconds he's there. He like you can call him that guy, but he's that guy because he shows up on screen like I'm gonna enjoy this.
Yeah, he was. So he's in this, and he plays a character, and in it,
I mean, he's in all the trailers.
yeah, he's amazing in this. His work through the entire series, because I've watched the entire season. He is the star of this show, whether you like it or not, just because of the way he acts, the way he talks, his lines, he gives them perfect.
I
He
mean,
is fucking amazing in this series.
well, think about Justified. He's almost the star of that.
Yeah.
You have to have fucking what's his name?
Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant on his fucking A game to keep
Yeah.
up with him.
So, he is stupidly amazing in this series. So, for anybody that knows, Fallout's based on the video game. And I believe the timeline is after Fallout, you know, it's after all the video games. So they're not going to be messing with any story timeline issues or whatever. And like retconning or whatever. But the one thing I like about all the main actors, because there's three main actors in this. Lucy, he's the guy that works for the Brotherhood, and I can't remember his character's name, and then the ghoul, which is Walter Goggins. They are the main story arcs in this. Maximus, thank you, Bane, Eon. And they go back and forth between of them. They, you know, and eventually they all meet up and so on and so forth, and it all comes together. But Lucy, the lady that plays Lucy, she actually played the video game to try to stay true to the TV show, which is great because I love when actors like, hey, I'm taking on this role, but what is this role about? And they go and play it and, you know, immerse themselves, which is great. Plays a vault dweller amazingly. All mannerisms, everything. Great in this. Maximus, the kid that plays Maximus, great too. Ton of fun. This is, somebody says, I can't believe that when they made this, there's so many dick and, you know, fart type jokes. I'm like, are you playing the same game that I was playing? Because I remember there was a ton of that crap in Fallout. There's always the tongue-in-cheek stuff. And there's a line in there that Walter Goggins give out, and it's dead on a copy from... It pays homage, an homage to the video game, and it's really good. This series is going to get renewed. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's going to get another season. It was amazing. I had a complete blast watching it. It delved into some deeper series. It delved into what happens into, you know, the Vault People. More because I, you know, we kind of know what their life is like, but not, you know, a ton of it. But it's really, really good and actually delves into a lot of hidden meanings behind why the Fallout happened and such. So, cool. You'll get a lot of answers to a lot of the series. Zero space RPGs for me, dead serious. I enjoy the shit out of it. Cannot wait for next season.
Like I said, I'll be watching it on Thursdays with Not Brushhead Dave.
Yeah.
Because he has played Fallout, and he doesn't have Amazon Prime, so he's going to go over and watch it, because
it's a
better way to go.
It made me nostalgic that I went and downloaded Fallout 4 again and started playing again. I mean, it's great. Everything is in this show. They hit Fallout right on the head, and it is complete fun and complete entertaining. So... It could have been renewed before it even aired, because they probably saw the first episode and went, fuck yeah.
I mean, the buzz was huge. The buzz is huge. So.
And they released it early, too.
Yeah, but also the funny thing is someone bitched about them releasing it all at once. And actually, there's people on Twitter who have made good points about it. Is that they're like, hey, I want it to be like water cooler talk with people. Hey, what's going to happen next episode? You and I can't have that, Gonzo. You've seen fucking every episode. Yeah. So I understand that from a point, even though I am sort of the guy who would wait until it's all out or close to all out and then watch one episode a day. I'm not going to burn through it all in one day. I got things to do. But I understand their point of view. You know, you want that with the internet being all out there and people having no fucking filter about spoilers and shit. No. I understand that. But on the other hand, another guy you mentioned, like, hey, you know, we watched it with my wife. She wasn't into the first episode, but she sat me through the second episode and then was in. I'm like, okay. Hey, there are two sides to every particular opinion about a way of doing things. So.
Yeah.
Anybody else got anything? We got like a minute left.
I mean, I watched a bunch of stuff. Well, maybe I'll talk about it on a solo podcast. Because, I mean, like, many other movies. Like, six other movies at least.
Nice. So, all right, guys, we are done. We appreciate you, you know, watching, listening, however you reach. We know that some people watch us on different platforms or listen to us on different platforms, and we appreciate it. Trust me. It is very fun and very awesome to go to a convention or to see people watching and listening and chatting in with us while we're doing it. I appreciate it. We really do appreciate you hanging out with us, type thing. There'll be some conventions that some of us are going to, and if you're there, make sure you say hi. I know I'll be going to Adepticon next year, so you can see me then. But if there's any other conventions, let us know. Maybe some of us can go.
Yep.
So, let's see. Let's give you to Monster Den Minis. Is doing some artwork right now. We'll send you off to Monster Den Minis for the night. But as usual, please take care of each other. Please look after each other. If you see something, say something. If you can do something, do something. If you hear something, say something. And if you can't do something, find someone that will, because we definitely need to take care of each other. For More Than Dice, I'm Gonzo.
I'm John.
I'm Nerd.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to More Than Dice, making the world a better, nerdier place, one dumb joke at a time. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. For more nerdy action or to connect with your hosts, check them out on facebook.com/morethandice and twitch.tv/more_than_dice. Until next time, stay nerdy, stay proud, and we'll see you soon on the More Than Dice podcast.